could be. Shane Ryan from, well, I mean, too many places. Golf Digest, Grantland.com. Something called Paste? Is that true?
Yeah, it's a music television magazine.
Look, I'm not familiar with everything, but Shane Ryan is a man about town, and he's an author of Slaying the Tiger.
Yeah, Paste Magazine is where I get at Shane on Twitter saying, why did you have this particular album number one on your year-end list? That's absurd.
You are so versatile.
And then Shane doesn't respond. He's like, I don't even want to deal with it. I don't even want to deal with it.
You are incredibly versatile, sir. You're on the Alan Kelly and Company Train Hotline. And by the way, the way this is supposed to work is that your publicist, because you have to have a publicist now, has to send us free copies of the book. Didn't you know that?
I'm so sorry. No, this is my first book. A lot of the niceties are lost on me at this point. But I'll remember that in my next book.
You know what's really cool is seeing how many people around social media have been genuinely excited for you at the release of the book. You've had a good year of young golf stars. Ricky Fowler with the exciting win at the Players' Championship. Jordan Spieth with the win at the Masters. Even though you and he are not BFFs, Patrick Reed has won again. So young players on tour are essentially helping sell your book.
Yeah, it's true. You know, and this is something I keep saying is when we came up with the idea for this book in 2013, we really took a gamble on 2014 being the year when Tiger faded and the young guys won. And so there was a possibility, of course, that, you know, Jim Furyk and Ernie Els would win all the majors and Mickelson, and the book would be a total disaster. But, yeah, it came through. You know, they won last year, and then especially this year, I think, leading up to the release date today, like you said, Spieth and Fowler winning, it's been huge.
Shane Ryan from Grantland.com and Paste and Tobacco Road Blues, all of it. He's everywhere. You can't throw a rock without landing on a webpage that Shane Ryan writes for. What do you make of what Fowler did? I mean, I tweeted out during the Players Championship that when Kevin Kisner was standing over a 15-foot putt that would have won it outright, how horrible it would have been for the PGA Tour, and I got a lot of pushback. That was an enormous win for the tour. Pete Fincham couldn't possibly have had his pants on at that point. I called him Pete. Tim Fincham.
Tim, I was going to say.
I called him Pete.
Yeah, I don't know who this weird pantless Pete Fincham is.
Yeah.
But, no, I think you're totally right. And I, you know, it's a hot take to say that about Kisner, but you're absolutely right. Because, you know, Ricky's a guy that the tour has been promoting over and over and over. He's someone that little kids like you see endless little kids dressing up like him at golf tournaments, once in a while an adult, which is always very disturbing. but he's charismatic and he's young and he's good looking. And the one sort of empty spot in his resume is that he hadn't won a big tournament. In fact, he hadn't won many tournaments at all. So, you know, to win the Players' Championship is huge, especially for the PGA Tour because that's their major. But to win it the way he did, by just turning scorching hot on Sunday on the last few holes, that's absolutely huge for Ricky Fowler. So, and, you know, obviously, too, there was that poll that came out right before the tournament saying he was the most overrated player. So the timing could not have been better. And, you know, in terms of the PGA's promotional apparatus, it couldn't be any better than that.
Who else goes in that group of, I mean, obviously, if you're great, like Rory and Jordan, you go in, you get it, you're in that very, you know, kind of clicky group. But who else is there that would be incredibly marketable for the tour that is kind of a new item? I mean, we know how marketable Tiger Woods would be if Woods could break 80 again. But who else would be on the list? Is there anybody else?
Yeah, it's funny because that's a great question. And you have to try to think of people who are a little bit off the beaten path, right? Not just sort of cookie cutter. But, you know, there's young guys like Brooks Koepka and Justin Thomas and Daniel Berger who are kind of interesting, and they're, you know, they seem to be right on the verge. Either they've won one tournament or they've come really close. So there's guys like that. But, you know, I always look, too, at a guy like Matt Every, who's a little bit older. I think he just turned 30, and his personality is so funny. I mean, the guy is just so honest. I actually had an excerpt go up on golf.com today from the book, the chapter I wrote on Matt Every. And it's one of the most fun conversations I had all year, and I won't spoil it too much, but he's a guy we were like, man, if he won, you know, God, if he won the U.S. Open or if he won the British Open or something like that, people would fall in love with a guy because, you know, his post-round interview would be hilarious. And It just his personality would be so infectious. So there's a number of guys like that. I think it's Sergio. He's already marketable, but if he ever won a major, I think he could go through the roof because everybody really likes him, or at least they're interested in him. So yeah, I look at guys like that. Jason Day is another one who's really kind of young and exciting, where he hasn't won the really big tournament. He won the match play last year, and then he won again this year, but he's come awfully close at Augusta and a few other tournaments. So you look at him, Dustin Johnson. I mean, there's a few guys who just haven't quite broken through that could be huge. But I'll tell you, on the wish list, I think, for golf, Spieth was number one. So him winning the Masters was like a feather in everybody's cap.
As you mentioned Augusta, and getting back to your book, you actually have an excerpt of this on Deadspin with the headline, "How Augusta National Became Golf's North Korea." That is quite the headline.
That's a hot take headline.
I'll tell you the title of the chapter in my book. It comes after the Masters chapter, and the title is "A Few More Thoughts on Augusta National."
Okay.
Now, this being Deadspin, Tim Marchman, the editor, came back to me and said, "Hey, I thought of this headline. What do you think?" And I said, "Yeah, that's very good. That's very Deadspin." So that, I can't take credit for that, unfortunately, but I did laugh when I saw it. On a serious note, the chapter is about Augusta, and most of what we hear about Augusta is this kind of lofty prose talking about how it's, basically heaven on earth. And I didn't think that. The course is absolutely beautiful, and the tournament's really fun, but the way they run the place is very draconian. It's got a legacy. It was founded by this guy, Clifford Roberts, who frankly, was a bigot who single-handedly tried to keep women and minorities out of the club. And it just occurred to me that, you can't say anything about it really, because they take away your credential, and they're very strict about that. So they kind of scare everybody into falling into lockstep. And then I just had the thought, well, you know what, why don't I be the person to fall on my Augusta sword? I don't really care if I go back, and I don't like the way they treat people. So I'm going to be the guy to say all this stuff who's been there. And so that was sort of my really honest take on Augusta National. And it was a cathartic chapter to write, and also a scary one to write.
They successfully kept African-Americans out until, 1990? And women out until just a few years ago, right?
Yeah, I think 2012 they admitted Condoleezza Rice, and then a businesswoman from Atlanta or something like that. So yeah, I mean, amazing, right? I mean, we're 2012. Can you imagine that's so ridiculous to even say it.
But it's their club. That's what everybody tells us. But Augusta National is so much more. It's a symbol for golf, but in a way, it's kind of an accurate symbol for golf, and it's one of the stories about the sport that is absolutely so unfortunate. I hope the book does well. Very quickly, got about 30 seconds. Why isn't Bubba Watson good? Two-time Masters champion, one of the best players on tour, got his seven wins in the last, three or four years. Why isn't Bubba Watson great for golf?
I think Bubba Watson is great for golf. I just, part of the thing I wrote in my book, and that'll come out next week, is that he's not the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
He's a bit of a prickly pear. But, I think his personality is great. And I think, same thing, Patrick Reed. I think you need bad guys sometime, honestly. I think it's good for the game, and I hope Bubba stays around forever.
Shane Ryan. At Shane Ryan here on Twitter.
He writes for Paste,
golf.com, golfdigest.com, tobaccoroadblues.com, and everywhere on the web.com. The book is called Slaying the Tiger. Shane, we'll talk to you again soon, man. Thanks
a lot, guys.